This is the Why Your Story podcast with Travis Osmond and Mary Jo Parker, sharing real life stories and experiences. Why Your Story is produced by SBI Media and available on Podbean, SBINews.com, and the SBI News app. And now, from the SBI Media Studios located in scenic Star Valley, Wyoming, here's Travis and Mary Jo with the Why Your Story podcast.
Welcome to Why Your Story podcast, brought to you from the beautiful home of SBI Media. I am your host, Travis Osmond.
And I am your host, Mary Jo Parker.
And we're back at it again.
Yes, we are.
Can you believe that?
Yes. We should be out doing something fun. There's sunshine out there.
I think I'm starting to see an end of the 9 months of winter.
Yes.
Do you think it's possible?
I don't know.
Oh my word. What a pretty day. We're finally seeing some sunshine. I'm actually seeing some pavement on the highway out there. Life's good.
Life's real good.
Of course, it's not as good as being MJ, California, for the last week or two.
Yeah, it was great.
Was
the place I was at was in Ross, and it was at the top of the mountains with lemon and orange trees and coyotes that were just howling. It was beautiful.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Oh, good for you. You deserve it.
Thank you.
Everybody deserves a break.
That's for sure.
So, MJ.
Yes, Travis.
We have a new sponsor for Why Your Story podcast.
No, we do?
No, I'm not lying to you this time.
Oh, my heck.
Normally, I do, but this time I'm not lying. Star Valley Health has come on board to be a sponsor and a partner for Why Your Story podcast.
That is so incredible.
The crowd goes wild. So how it goes is we, even though we both work for Star Valley Health.
Yes.
We are, the Why Your Story podcast is not affiliated with Star Valley Health, but they are coming on as a sponsor for Star Valley Health.
That's right.
So now we have the Pop Shop and Star Valley Health supporting and helping us get Why Your Story podcast out to the people.
That's awesome and wonderful.
We wanted to thank them coming on board. Thank you, Star Valley Health. We appreciate you and all you do for our community. We look forward to this.
Yes, we do.
This will be a great partnership. So thank you.
Thanks.
Well, good deal. So we start another podcast here and we have to thank our sponsor.
We do.
We love the Pop Shop.
We do.
What are you drinking?
I'm drinking out of my Cinderella cup.
What are you drinking out of your Cinderella cup?
Crystal Light with caffeine.
Oh, it's boring. I am drinking Let Them Eat Cake.
Oh, you love that.
I do love it.
That's right. And our guest today is drinking. Are you drinking yet?
I am. I've got some Mountain Dew here, but the one I do prefer is the Pina Colada.
The Pina Colada.
Over there with Diet Mountain Dew. That's a little secret.
Okay. So that
for sure
on my list will be the Pina Colada.
Okay.
I need to try that for next time.
Okay.
It's a dandy.
And I'll let everybody know how it goes.
That is great.
Okay. So today we have a special guest with us. And just for the record, it's colon health month. Did I say that right? Colon health? Large intestine health?
I think so.
Right?
I don't know why I'm laughing.
The Southern health. Southern health. Yes.
Yep.
And so we are graced today with one of our good friends and surgeons from Star Valley Health, Dr. Cowan. And before you say anything, go with me on this one. Okay, you ready? Giddy up, boom, pop, boom, pop, pop.
Mow, mow.
Yes!
That's actually Richard Sturban.
Okay.
Is his name from the Oak Ridge
Boys.
And he's ridiculous. He's still good. You know, I don't know how old he is. He's got to be 70 or 80 years old now, but whatever.
Yeah.
That voice of his is ridiculous. So
memories as a kid, just listening to him sing that. I mean, I just walk around the house, giddy up, boom, pop, boom, pop, pop.
Oh, gosh.
Simple pleasures.
Exactly.
Well, you have a pretty good voice. Do you sing?
If I said yes, no, I sound amazing in the shower.
Oh, okay.
So
yeah, we ought to try a duet or something because I sing in the shower too, and that's the only place.
It's amazing.
Yeah. That's awesome.
That's right.
Well, good deal. So yeah, Dr. Mark Cowan is here with us in studio today, and we're going to be discussing the ins and outs of colon health, right?
Let's hope there's more outs than ins. That's all I got to say.
So first off, Dr. Cowan, for all of our listeners out there, tell us a little bit about the colon.
Well, I'm still back on the ins and outs. One thing we are going to discuss is the in part of that.
Yes, yes.
All right. But so colon or large intestine, okay, so those are synonymous. All right. So follow it down. Stomach, esophagus, or excuse me, mouth, esophagus, stomach, small bowel, and then you've got your colon, okay? It goes down to your rectum and then to the nether regions. Okay. But so that's how it all plays out. It's roughly, in any individual, about 3 feet long.
My.
Okay.
So the colon is 3 feet long itself? How long are the intestines generally?
Can be 18 to 21 feet of small bowel.
Holy
so
smokes.
When you talk about it, so somewhere around 20 feet or so, which is crazy.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
Crazy.
You know, when you think about it. So
is it true at any given time someone will have so many pounds of rotting food in their guts?
That is accurate.
Do you have a number on that?
I don't, nor do I spend time worrying about it. But
well, you should because you
true.
See it. You see it.
Well, sure. I mean, but I have no idea. You know, but it's actually, as far as pound, I have no idea. But, you know, we eat a lot, some of us, you know.
You bet.
So I'll just leave it at that.
Okay, so we eat, goes into the stomach, into the small bowel, into the big bowel. Out.
Right.
And that's where you come in.
Correct. Literally. So when we talk about Colon Health Awareness Month or whatever, what we're talking about is colon cancer, okay? And how do we prevent that, okay? What do we do, all right? What's the best way to prevent colon cancer? And that's obviously through screening, okay?
Okay.
And that the main method is by colonoscopy, okay? And that's the in we're going to talk about, okay? And so... but colon cancer in and of itself, and, you know, trying to keep this light, but there's nothing light about the second leading, you know, cancer death in the United States being colon cancer. There's nothing light about that. And so one of my best friends, you know, he's 56 years old and, started to have some abdominal pain, and long story short, 6 weeks later he died,
oh
you know,
my
from
goodness.
Colon cancer, but he had not had a colonoscopy. Mm-hmm. Would it have made a difference? Well, we'll never know at this point. Okay. So what's recommended is when somebody turns 50, and there's some organizations that actually recommend when we turn 45
wow.
that we actually have a colonoscopy. Okay. The colonoscopy itself, it's got a bad rap. Okay.
Okay. I can't imagine why. But
well, I
ahead.
Know, right? We won't go there either, but the worst part of this whole thing is the prep, okay? The 24 hours before of, you know, we got to get your colon clean. So we got to get everything out of there, all that poundage of rotting, whatever you called
yes,
it,
yes.
out of there so we can actually see what we need to see, okay? The actual colonoscopy itself is the best nap of your life, you know?
So you're out. You're,
yeah.
You're sleeping.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. We've got an anesthesia provider that's in there monitoring, and you're out. Best nap of your life. So the actual colonoscopy itself is not the big deal. It's just the prep, you know, the day before where you got to hang out kind of near the restroom. So,
And so do you just give them like something to drink, some pills, something? And just
exactly.
Kind of cleans you out a little bit.
Yeah, there's multiple modalities to use. Most often we'll have them drink and it's not the best tasting solution.
Okay.
But anyway, that cleans it out. So when we do a colonoscopy, we can actually, you know, see, okay?
Okay.
And what we're looking for primarily are polyps, and those are little outgrowths. And why do we grow polyps? Well, we don't know. Tissue does what it does sometimes over time. And so if there's a polyp there, we're going to take it out. We're going to send it to pathology. It's going to tell us if it's benign, precancerous, or cancerous. And so either way, that's the best way to help prevent colon cancer is screen it.
How long
know?
Is the procedure?
Yeah, so around 20 minutes, 25 minutes, you know, depending on what we see.
Okay. And how often should you get it done after the age
of 50?
Yeah,
good question. So if we go in there and it's clean, or you've got one or two, you know, benign polyps, mm-hmm. you're good for another 10 years.
Oh, wow.
Exactly. If you've got some precancerous polyps, okay, then you may be in the 3 to 5 year range.
Okay. Okay.
If you've got a bigger polyp that, you know, is really concerning or whatever, you know, you may be anywhere from 6 months to a year that you need to come back in and do it again. And so...
Sure.
It all depends on what we find, but it's a big deal. And you don't have to look very far in families to see somebody that's been affected by it.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
So what when you say polyp, is it like a growth of cells? Are we looking at something that's like a mole? Or are we looking at like a skin tag?
Yeah, you know what? They almost look like skin tags in there. There's two different kinds, or two general basic kinds. The ones that are kind of flat, okay, more molish, if you will, but raised.
Okay.
And then there's others that kind of dangle down, you know, look like skin tags. So okay. That's a good analogy.
Okay.
For them, for sure.
Okay.
But again, you'll never see them, you know. Because you're sleeping, everybody. Okay, sleeping. Don't be scared of it. It's good.
Okay, so we go in, or the day before, you give us some good drink.
Yeah.
We come in, you're like, hey, how's it going? Good. Good night. We go to sleep. And then next thing you know, do we wake up in recovery?
Yeah. You wake up in recovery, you don't remember anything, and you feel maybe a little bloated. You may be a little gassy because we use air to insufflate, or you know, dilate the colon just so we can see all the surface area of
okay.
it. So maybe a little gassy for, you know, the next few hours or whatever, and maybe a little crampy, you know.
Do we go home after. Feeling gassy?
Yeah.
Okay.
But not crazy. Most people feel great.
Okay.
Most people, people go right back to work, you know, if they need to, those types of things.
And,
so then
after that, I'm just trying to think of an absolutely clean colon. So does it take like a few days now to start filling things up so your bowels start moving again?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But we have to keep in mind that your stomach, you know, makes up to a liter of juice every day, regardless of what we do. The liver is kicking a liter in to a liter and a half. The pancreas is kicking, you know, 500 cc's up to a liter. So there's always stuff going in there. Okay. So
yeah.
It's not like you would be devoid of bowel movements necessarily.
I see.
Okay. So there's lots of stuff going on. A lot of that's reabsorbed, and that's getting too technical. But you'll be fine. And I look forward to.
So I will request somebody other
soon.
Than Dr. Callum.
I was just thinking that.
I just turned 45, and there's a history in my family of colon cancer.
Yeah, so there's the next point. And this is going to get a little technical, but when you talk about, you know, first degree relatives, you know, mom, dad, brother, sister, whatever, if they have had a colon cancer, they recommend screening at age, you know, 45 or 10 years earlier than the age of that person when they were diagnosed. So
right.
If you had a relative who was diagnosed at 52, we'd recommend you get started at 42 for screening. So that's all that means. And
okay.
So long story short, what do? Well, you come visit with Dr. Green and I, and we'll go over all this with you with questions and take care of you. So.
And so do we go into the surgery side of the hospital? Do we make an appointment with
a general surgery clinic?
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, folks. Well, you're hearing it here. So do not procrastinate your colon exam.
It's a big deal.
You've already done it?
Yeah.
When did you do it?
It's been 4 years.
So did you do it when you were 50?
I just did it 4 years ago.
Good answer.
Thank you.
By the way.
Hey, well, that's good. I'm proud of you for doing that.
Thank you. Wait, Steve and I did it together on our anniversary.
Nothing says love.
Exactly.
Like a joint colonoscopy.
It was. It was joyous.
Couples that get screened together stay together.
Stay together.
All right,
is that like a joint massage, a couple's massage
well,
type thing?
Well, it's a little more intimate.
Let's go to dinner afterwards, honey,
yeah.
Should we?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, we did.
So, Dr. Cowan.
Yes, sir.
How old are you?
Yes.
Yes. You're cleaned.
Yes, sir.
Good. Okay. So the next thing...
You're assuming I'm over 50. Is that what you're saying?
That's why I asked.
You assume correct.
No,
but anyway.
I just wanted to ask. I worried about your health.
You're
and
right.
And I just think that,
right.
That you should be aware that we're now concerned about you. And our future guests, we're going to ask them, have you had your colon exam lately?
Good deal.
Because they need to be aware. This is a big deal. So out of
it
all...
That's correct.
What kind of percentage are you seeing this? I mean, so... Out of 100 patients, how many would you say are benign polyps? How many have no polyps? How many have cancerous polyps? I mean, can you give us something like that?
Absolutely. So what I'll do is I'll lump having no polyps and a really clean colonoscopy with benign polyps, and that's the vast, vast majority.
Okay.
Okay. Difficult to put a percentage on it because we don't track that necessarily, you know, in the valley or things like that, but vast, vast majority of those. So, you know, a cancerous polyp is extremely uncommon, but it's common enough that you know, hello, we need to do this. And it's recommended by the National Cancer, you know, Association. All associations are, you know, it's just good medicine. Now, there's other ways to do this. You're going to hear about this. You're going to hear about a CT scan, okay, that can detect polyps up to a centimeter, as well as a colonoscopy can. Fantastic, okay? It still requires the prep. Okay, because you got to clean it out, but you don't have the actual invasive nature of the colonoscopy. The problem with it is, and I love the CT scan aspect of it, you can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
Oh,
then
I
you still have to go do a colonoscopy to get that polyp out of there. So, you know, it's kind of a one-stop shop. Let's get it in there, or, you know, get the scope in there. Let's take a look. Let's make sure if there's anything that's suspicious, let's get it out. Let's biopsy it. Let's see, you know, for sure. Mm-hmm. Because it really, it's a big deal when you talk about second leading cause of cancer deaths in the United States.
So. Yes.
Is there any signs and symptoms, or is it too late?
Bleeding would be your first.
Okay.
You know, and we do see that, as in my friend, you know, he had a huge mass in his colon, but he had no symptoms prior to that, and one day started to have bleeding. You may have some pain, you know, or obstructive symptoms, you know, like a bowel obstruction, things like that.
Right.
But initially, blood is typical, you know.
Okay.
So.
Oh my word.
Wow. Okay.
I know, right?
Yeah, that's just crazy.
Yeah.
Poor. You got to get in and get checked.
You do.
There you go.
Yeah.
It's a big deal.
So, with Colon Awareness Month as it is, we're encouraging all of our listeners out there, 50 years and old, to go see Dr. Cowan and Dr. Green, Star Valley Health, and
make sure your appointment next week.
Okay. Well, I need to go find out when my relative was diagnosed.
Mm.
And then I'll make my appointment, if I have to.
Okay.
Well, exactly. And then, you know, is it a distant relative? I mean...
Exactly.
There's lots of nuances there.
Okay. Sure.
You know.
All right. Well, if you have questions, just go see your doctor and schedule that.
That's right. We have some really good surgeons here.
So, I have to ask this question. So, of all of the fields of surgery... What led you to the colon? Is that just like something that just happened?
Let's back up just a little bit. So when I started medical school, my intention was to actually be an orthopedic surgeon. And as I got involved in general surgery, it was just that. It was general. I could do so much, you know, from thyroid surgery, from neck surgery, you know, some thoracic in the chest, to breast surgery, to abdominal surgery, to, you know, any masses, you know, in the extremities. So it was just so broad. That's what interested me. And it's fascinating, you know, this being a general surgeon and trauma surgeon, just the things we can operate on, it's crazy. Almost head to toe. Take that with a grain of salt. But, you know, it's really looked at that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is general. So I didn't want to be pigeonholed, and I wanted those options.
Okay.
And so I was fully intent on being an orthopedic surgeon, but just fell in love with the different types of surgeries that it offers, you know.
What's the craziest thing you've ever removed?
That was going to be my question.
That's my question.
And it doesn't have to be the colon.
Or it could be.
Well, and you hear about, you know, somebody going to the doctor and feeling like they were full or whatever, and having this basketball-sized mass,
yes,
you know,
yes,
in their abdomen. And it's, so anyway, I have pulled one the size of a volleyball out of a person that had a BMI, you know, of 26, which is...
Oh, my word.
Yeah, I mean, pretty thin.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And they were, who knows how they were hiding it, you know, but it was there.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, my goodness.
And you just go, what in the world? You know,
yeah,
the size of a volleyball, man.
Wow,
that's crazy.
It is crazy.
Okay, so
yeah,
so back when you started, when you're a kid, you're growing up, you're thinking, are you thinking I want to be a surgeon? Are you thinking I want to be a doctor? Are you? What do you think? What was your thought process?
And where did you grow up?
And where did you grow up?
Yeah, so split time. So I actually went to school down in Payson in Utah County.
Okay.
Dad was an educator down there. But we also ran cows, ranch up in Evanston, which we still have. And the brothers, ironically, teach school in Evanston. And then, you know, we have a cow-calf operation there. And so growing up, what did I want to do? Well, honestly, I wanted to be a pilot.
Oh.
Okay.
I know.
Yeah, that's
and
close.
So what I did was, you know, I dreamed about that forever, but I got in college and I'm like, I really want to be a doctor. And so anyway, to satisfy the pilot thing, I went and got my private pilot's license so I could fly. And anyway, eventually went on to medical school because I really did want to be specifically a surgeon.
Okay, so from the very beginning, though, right. In medical school, you wanted to be a surgeon.
Yes, for sure.
Okay.
For sure.
So growing up in Payson, did your family have the ranch back then too?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And how many siblings do you have?
I'm one of eight.
Eight?
Mom and dad liked each other.
So that's great. I love to hear love stories.
Well.
That's wonderful.
That's what we say about it. I'm like, whoa, hey. No, one of eight, and there's four and four. Four boys, four girls. And so, and we were quite extensive. I don't know, west of Delta, I don't know if anybody's familiar with the Goshute Indian Reservation. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's vast Indian reservation. Yes. For many, many years, we actually leased that and ran 400 or 500 head of mother cows on that as well.
Wow.
So we were pretty busy rolling around the country chasing cows.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So I actually grew up in Fairview, Utah, just down the road from you.
Yep.
And my wife's family, they have a big cow-calf operation down there. And so I love that lifestyle. I think that's a neat way to grow up. I think it teaches kids hard work
and
honesty, you know, and it's neat that your family still has that opportunity.
No question.
So,
cool.
So your brothers took the route of educators?
Yeah, and it's interesting because I two brothers, one sister, you know, we're all educators. Got a sister that's a nurse. You know, anyway, everybody's kind of interested in education. I think that's from dad,
mm-hmm.
you know, and mom was certainly heavily involved with all that as well. But
and then you have two kids, a boy
I
and
do.
A girl.
I do. Yeah, I have a son. He's the oldest. He's actually in medical school at the University of Arizona in Phoenix.
Nice.
And my daughter, who actually works here at the hospital for now, is applying to PA school, and we'll do that shortly.
I think you got to tell Travis why we call her Teddy.
Okay, so her name's Kennedy. She just had a birthday on March 7th. So, you know.
Happy birthday.
Exactly.
Kennedy.
Making a big deal of it. But and she is a big deal. She's a cutie. Couldn't be prouder. Anyway, so when she was younger, she had two personalities. You know, she had a sweet little Kennedy, and then she had the drunk incumbent senator from Massachusetts type of personality in Ted Kennedy. And
yes.
So, and Ted kind of just fit her to a T and still does. And, yeah. and you guys have both worked with her.
Yep.
And so,
yep. She's great.
You know, Ted works. And it was funny when she was, you know, cheerleading and everything in high school on her uniform, it was Ted. It was never Kennedy.
That's
her
awesome.
Teachers did not know. They are like at the first of the year, they'd say, you know, Kennedy, who's that? You know, everybody just knew her as Ted.
Love
so.
It.
Yeah.
That's
I
my fault.
Her.
That's my fault.
That's awesome.
So, why Star Valley?
Yeah.
How did you end up here?
Good question. So, I was down in Phoenix operating at the Banner University of Arizona Medical Center there, which it's massive. It's 650-bed hospital, massive downtown Phoenix, you know, living with 5 million of your closest friends,
goodness.
You know.
Wow.
No, I always wanted to do more rural and get close to, you know, the ranch where I, on a day off, whatever, I can run down, you know, because something needs to be roped. There's no question about that. There's always something needs to be roped. But Star Valley, it's a special place, you know, and those of us that live here know that.
That's true.
So when the opportunity, when they approached me, you know, I was like, well, it was just a natural fit. And then, you know, I got to throw some kudos out to my partner, Dr. Green. I mean, I you couldn't ask for a nicer guy,
sure.
better guy
yeah.
to be partners with, and just an outstanding person.
So. Yes.
He is awesome.
Oh, he is.
No question.
I mean, just saying this from my own self, I mean, running as an EMT, it has been the greatest experience working with you and Dr. Green in the ER situations.
Yeah. Oh, thanks.
But no, I don't say that. I think that is one of my favorite things, is seeing you guys in there when we, you know, when stuff gets real, having a surgeon there like you guys is like an experience that most people, I wish you could experience it, you know? Someone needs a chest tube or someone needs this right now. You know, you guys are like, boom, 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 boom.
And you guys are calm and you're pleasant to be around, even though it's a hectic situation.
Well, and that's the training and a little bit of the just demeanor, I think, what it takes to do what we do,
mm-hmm.
you know? But what I will comment on that is, you know, the hospital, and, you know, you never wish ill on somebody, but if there are bad things that happen, you know, this hospital is able to take care of a lot of things. There's magical things that happen at that hospital. Excellent providers, excellent staff, and couldn't be happier.
I agree.
So
I couldn't agree more. And I don't think that's a side that people don't get to see. And
correct.
It's a good
correct.
Thing they don't get to
absolutely.
See it.
Absolutely.
But if it's needed, you know, I mean, we've had some tragedies in the valley the last few months, you know, but when it's needed,
right.
it's there. And the hospital care is just phenomenal, I think.
It is.
From what I've seen.
We're very, very fortunate to have that institution in this valley.
Yep.
So a couple questions for you.
Oh, boy.
Have you, yes or no, done surgery on a family member?
No.
Have you done surgery on a pet?
On a pet.
And that could be a horse.
Yes.
Okay. That's cool, because I actually called my friend who was a dentist
uh-huh.
and to have him sew up my dog when he got he got hit by a tractor. Yeah, and the tractor kind of ran over him. And anyway, so I would have done it, but I don't have access to sutures, you know. I mean, stuff like that.
Exactly.
And, you know, but a dentist, yeah. why not, you know?
Sure.
I didn't know Dr. Cowan back then.
Yeah.
And I don't think I would text Dr. Cowan to come sew up my dog. But I'm just saying.
You could.
Yeah, I could, but.
And my horse.
So do you and Dr. Green at the hospital, do you kind of split things?
I mean,
how does that work?
Yeah,
you're on, he's on, you're
we
on?
We just split call. So one of us is always on call, you know, at any given time. And then, you know, both of us are here 95% of the time anyway, if not more than that. So, and we help each other. It's great.
That's awesome.
It's, you know, the operating room is a magical place, and I'll just describe it as that. What happens in there is fantastic, and the camaraderie and the teamwork, and it really does take a village, you know, to get people through this, and just even a simple surgery. And so we help each other, and it's fun. Love it.
Tell me about roping.
Okay.
Tell me everything I want to know in 5 seconds.
Oh, boy. Well, people like to see me coming to jackpots and ropings because I'm a donator.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So I have a brother that's a winner, but I'm a donator.
I love it.
So I'll just leave it at that.
So,
and I like to head. I head because I get to throw every time.
Absolutely.
You know.
But don't you feel awful, though, when you miss? I mean.
Well, sure.
Well, I know. Well,
unless it's my brother.
So I roped all through college.
Yeah.
And I was a header.
Yeah.
And I had to grow up and get serious when I got married because,
right.
you know, you have to do those sort of things. But
it's addicting.
Yeah, it is so fun. And another thing people need to support more, I think. So, okay, so you're a header. You enjoy roping. You like to do surgery. What else?
Oh, goodness. So I obviously love to fly. I haven't done that much here since I moved here about a year and a half ago. But certainly, I've contacted, you know, the FBO over there. And anyway, that's an amazing little facility over there, the airport we have here and the management. Kudos to them.
It is.
So, love to ski. I was ski patrol down at Snow Basin for a while. So, really, really love to ski. My wife, truly, and I'll just throw, you know, she hates it when I say this, but she truly, male, female, doesn't matter. She's one of the best skiers I've ever skied with. She's fantastic. So we have a lot of fun doing that.
Good.
I failed as a parent because my two kids snowboard.
I feel the same.
Yeah. But so I like to do that. And I seriously, and this is going to pigeonhole me, but I love to travel, but I can't wait for Disneyland to open. Okay. I'll say it.
It's, yes.
I'm not ashamed,
yes.
but I want them to open and we love going.
That's awesome.
You know,
love it.
Love it. So
that's awesome.
You know, and it's crazy. You get a bunch of adults running around being happy, you know, it's good stuff. It is it's the happiest place on earth, but it's also the most expensive place on earth too. So
yes, for sure.
Where's your favorite place to be?
Oh, that's a good question. Honestly, I don't know they have a favorite place. I mean, you know, moving a bunch of cows with the brothers. Magical. Disneyland with
sure.
the family, magical.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hanging out on the couch watching, you know, a movie with Shannon, magical.
Awesome.
So
awesome. So, was your mom's dad bald?
Okay, I do shave this, all right?
Oh, it is shaved, okay. All right, well, I feel better.
So, and I blame my parents because I have these brothers and they're hairy beasts, you know?
Yes.
So, I've had the same hairline. I've got a picture in second grade with the same hairline. It's just unfortunate. And so, the answer to that is we don't know. Yeah, okay. My mom isn't sure.
Okay, all right.
Who her dad is.
So if you're shaving it, though,
because of, that's a long story.
But you normally have hair, though. I mean, I guess I can start to see a little bit of the.
Oh boy.
I'm just curious because
this is good.
It's coming from a guy that doesn't have hair, and I don't know either if my mom's dad was bald either.
Right.
So, but I'm gonna go out on a limb and say he was, if that's really how the genetic trait works.
Yeah,
but.
I don't know, and I look, we all kind of look alike, I guess the brothers, whatever he says, but they're really all just hairy beasts. Dad's got a full head of hair, you know, it's just, all right. Whatever.
All right.
It's all right.
Awesome.
That's fun.
I just think all the money I've saved over the years in shampoo and stuff.
Absolutely.
You bet.
Me too. I love it. So was it you that had a story about Uncle Donnie Osmond?
Not me.
No? Donnie. I thought it was Mark Cowan that had an experience with Donnie Osmond. Was it another surgeon?
It wasn't me.
Oh, maybe it was Dr. Green.
I did have an experience with, I don't know about Donny Osmond, but with Harrison Ford.
Tell us.
Okay. This is really
We want
cool.
to hear about this.
So I had a buddy who flies for Hollywood. He's the aircraft coordinator for the movies. And so the last Indiana Jones, which is the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, which was unfortunately not very good.
Right.
So he invited me down, and they were in California. For the final day of shooting. And big deal. So I fly down the night before, and anyway, get on set at 6:30 in the morning, and at 7 o'clock everybody starts to roll out. Here's Steven Spielberg, he, you know, is the director. He comes out in his golf cart, you know, and there's Shia LaBeouf, he's there ready to go. Well, where's Harrison? Harrison is nowhere to be found. And you know, about 10 minutes later, there's a plane that comes in. Harrison is an active aviator. You know, he flies planes and rotary or helicopter.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so he lands. Well, he left early that morning to go down to pick up George Lucas, who wanted to be present for the final day of shooting with his buddies, you know, and their friends. Anyway, so I'm sitting there, you know, 10 feet away from Spielberg, George Lucas, and Harrison Ford.
Wow.
And
wow.
So, yeah, the whole day. And then, and my buddy and Harrison are friends because of the, you know, love of aircraft and everything. And so the three of us visited the entire day. I sat there in one of those director chairs right by Harrison Ford, and we talked all day. And incredible guy. Truly, truly incredible guy. And he was... I was at one point, I'm like, hey, I noticed you don't speak to Shia LaBeouf very much. He's like, I don't like him. You didn't hear that from me, you know. But amazing day with Harrison Ford. Yeah.
That is amazing.
I had an encounter with Harrison Ford.
You did too?
At the airport in Jackson. Yeah. Pretty much made a jerk of myself.
Well, you were mean to Harrison Ford?
No. So I was going from general aviation down to private aviation, and because that's where my office was. So I'm in my little golf cart, and I see a guy with a little cooler, and I was on my cell phone, and it was thumbing to get a ride. And so I pull over, and I'm like, Harrison Ford! Like, it just kind of came out. And then I was like, I'm just like staring at him, and he's really, really handsome. And
Harrison
he's tall.
Ford was hitchhiking?
Yes, with his cooler, and then I was like, I kind of stalk you from my window. I mean, I'm not a stalker. I'm married and I'm happy, but and he was just staring at me like, who is this bimbo?
My word.
And then he reaches over and he's like, Harrison Ford, nice to meet you. My hand's all limp. I'm just like.
He's generally just a down-to-earth,
so
nice guy.
Yeah, he goes, next time don't stop me. Just come down and say hi.
That's what impressed me. He was just so down-to-earth.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it was awesome. Crazy. He was generally really nice.
Love to hear
and
that.
You see him in Jackson all the time. I don't know if he still lives up there, but he did, and his wife and son, and yeah.
Yeah, I mean, obviously that was a while ago for me, but.
When did you live in California, or did you not live
there? No, I was just living in Utah and then flew down.
Okay.
Just for that final day of shooting.
That's awesome.
It's crazy.
That's yeah. neat.
It was crazy.
That's neat.
That's so cool. And then those two big directors, too.
Yeah.
That, I mean,
George
right?
Lucas. I mean, that's a big deal.
That's a big
Huge.
Deal.
That's historic.
I need yeah. his money.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Steven Spielberg.
Well, both their money.
Both their money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, crazy.
That's great.
It was so fun having you today. You have like a great stories and you're a great doctor.
Oh,
and
wow. I've got you fooled. This is good.
Yep.
No, you do not have me fooled.
Well, we're lucky to
really
have you in Star
it.
Valley.
Yeah. Yep. You're so lucky
I'm
here.
Just glad to be here. It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's a privilege.
Thanks for all you do.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Dr. Mark Cowan, general surgery and ER surgery for Star Valley Health, has joined us today and we're grateful for him for being here with us.
Thanks, everyone.
MJ, wasn't that a neat podcast?
It was so fun. Such a great guy.
Let's do it again.
Okay, if we have to.
Well, I am your host, Travis Osmond.
And I am your host, Mary Jo Parker.
This is Why Your Story Podcast. And we're brought to you from the beautiful home of SVI Media.
We want beautiful.
To thank our sponsor, the Pop Shop, again for all that they do for us.
That's right. Thank you, Pop Shop.
Thank you, everyone. Have a safe day.
Thanks for joining us for the Why Your Story podcast with Travis Osmond and Mary Jo Parker on SVI Media. To suggest topics or reach out to Travis and Mary Jo, email WYS@SVINews.com. That's WYS@SVINews.com. And be sure to follow Why Your Story on Facebook. Stay tuned for the next Why Your Story podcast on Podbean, SVINews.com, and the SVI News app.